And there is only one Roger Ramirez.
Hey, what's going on, dude?
How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, man, you were the second person on my podcast. How does that feel?
Good. It feels like a runner-up.
Right? Dude, that reminds me. When I was setting up my computer, I saw the sticker that I have of you on my laptop. It says, good but not the best. And it has a picture of your face and a little party hat that has a number 2 on it. And I was like, dude, that's perfect for you.
Yeah, I could send you that image if you want to use it as a cover art thing. I don't care. I drew myself.
And it's a good drawing, brother. It really reflects who you are as a person and always being number 2, man.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Yeah, I'm always just going to be all right.
Yeah, you're always going to be all right. I mean, at least in my book, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like when I envisioned drawing that, I was just kind of like, you know what? This kind of perfectly encapsulates the kind of person I am, I think, in the sense where it's like I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm humble. Right. But just the way the attitude I have towards myself, like, I know I'm good. I'm not fucking striving to be anything better than that. So, you know,
you're modest. You're the modest. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
That's good. Hey, Roger, what a tidal wave of events that we're going through right now, aren't we?
Yeah, dude, that's a good way of putting it.
What's it called? So I wanted to talk to you more because you are a advocate of change. And one of the most active advocate of change people, at least in the local scene. And for those people that don't know, Roger is in my opinion, one of the top, man, easily the top 3 best comics Laredo has ever produced. And he really does a good job and getting his voice heard and being funny at it also. So, Roger, what do you think about what's going on in protests here in Laredo?
Oh, man.
what a question.
Where do I start, dude?
Right?
What do you want?
What's your position on it, brother?
My position on it? I think we're all subject to oppression as Mexican-Americans or Hispanics, and I think we should show or stand in solidarity with those that are being oppressed, just like other, you know, people of color and other other minorities, and just like black people are currently facing, you know. I personally didn't really feel like I wanted to align myself with any of that, like in terms of like injustice at the moment, because I'm fighting on a completely different front. I do a lot of work for Laredo Immigrant Alliance, so that's my fight and my own personal fight. But then I started seeing about how, you know, realistically, not realistically, statistically, you and I and all of our other friends are statistically more at risk of dying by the police or facing some sort of discrimination, brutality, mistreatment, beratement, anything like that by the police. And it made me think, I was talking to my parents about it. It made me think a lot about what responsibility I have to them. Right. I've told a couple of stories before, and I've made a couple of posts before about, you know, personal experiences and things that have affected my dad during his deportation. And that's me. You know, that's what I'm in it for. You know, that my dad was here for more than 30 years as a legal resident alien. And all of a sudden, you know, people decided to tarnish his name and open up a case against him over something that was done, I think, 6 years prior or 4 or 7 years prior that had no actual closure.
Was that prior to him arriving to the United States, or was that already here in the United States?
No, that was already here in the United States. But there's a thing, okay. You know, like you can't get deported for a misdemeanor. It's usually felony mm-hmm. charges and things like that. That especially things of like sexual misconduct that'll get. That wasn't the case with my dad. My dad.
Hold on, you
part of a case that included something like. What were you saying?
It cut off a little bit when you said sexual misconduct. What was that? Can you backtrack a little bit, please?
Yeah. I said you can't get deported as a resident alien. You can't get deported for a misdemeanor. You normally you get deported for something like a felony or something right. involving some sort of sexual misconduct. Even some felonies will not get you deported. There are people who will stay here for felony drug charges and shit like that, right? But I don't quote me on that because those laws are changing like every day. The thing that was involving my dad was a misdemeanor, and because it wasn't properly handled by the local police department at the time of it happening, it escalated into becoming an issue with ICE, and ICE chose to put out an order of removal for my dad, and so he was removed. And I've talked about this story plenty of times, and it's something that I kind of, I don't think I should tell right now, really, because I think it takes away from the situation. But ultimately, I have faced, my parents have faced racism in America, and they've been discriminated against and they've been mistreated, and I'm sure that's just a few steps short of brutality when we're talking about how these people go on power trips largely. So I do feel that I feel like the protest was one, an excellent use or an excellent exercise of the First Amendment right. I feel that organization, Red Wing, did a great job in organizing it and putting together a list of demands that were aligned with what other, cities and other places, other organizations that were, in solidarity for George Floyd's murder. They were all in line with that, and I thought they were very reasonable. So my stance on it was, yeah. Keep doing it. Fucking raise more protests. I don't condone violence and looting or anything like that, which none of that happened right. on Saturday, and I'm grateful for
which is
like
great
that.
And I'm happy for the city of Laredo and everyone who's pushing for change and for us to be able to keep that discipline and not start just doing wild acts of violence for no reason.
Right. Yeah, and I think that takes away from the movement too, man. Especially because the focus right now is a lot on rioting and looting, and not so much about the people that are actually advocating for the change and making calls in the city and city council and doing things like what happened within Colorado today. Colorado was the first one to pass something in terms of a post George Floyd legislature. Hello? I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, hello. You get internet, dog.
right?
Yeah, I was gonna say they were the first one to pass post George Floyd's murder some new legislation that calls for de-escalation protocols to be over violence for police to train more on that. Anti-racist, anti-prejudice, discriminatory practices. There was multiple ones that they all have to have mandatory body camera. And there was talks, man, like the reaction here in Laredo was a little weird. Like one of them was talking about how, oh, hey, well, there was a gentleman on KGNS who, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I don't want to spend forever on this topic. Just personally, I I don't know if you had any other questions on it. Obviously, I don't want to take this over like it's my
podcast. No, I know, man. I'm having you on here because I know that you've been through it, and I know you know more than anyone else I know. And what's gnarly about your situation and your family situation is that it happened in the comfort of your own home. It happened here in Laredo, Texas. And everybody is so quick to be like, hey, no, we don't experience. And people don't even realize that they don't experience racism here because we're all a minority in a minority city. So, you know, how are these people so quick to think that not everyone, like, how are they so quick to think that they're not capable of going through it? I mean, they're not like that probability of them going through something like that were to happen to them. Do you get me?
And yeah. Yeah, it's a 98% Hispanic town. We're very much homogenous. We're very much living in a very comfortable bubble, and mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's easy to say that, oh, you know, because I haven't experienced it, it doesn't happen, and that's just, you know, bullshit. It's bullshit, and you're discarding, you know, everybody else's points of views and opinions, that, you know, situations and experiences that they've been in, with, you know, just flat out ignorance. So, yeah, man, I agree. I do think it's pretty stupid that they try to make an argument or to dismiss. It's dismissive is the word that I'm looking for.
Right, and it must be so frustrating for you to see those Facebook comments and see it from your own people, your own Laredoans. As small as this city is, to be able to just talk out of their ass like that, with lack of a better term.
So there's a good and a bad, man. I obviously am frustrated at seeing, you know, such ignorance and such, like, people who just stick to their guns. When I myself, I think personally, I'm privy to, like, new information, and when I do get that new information, I change my stance on things. And I think that, you know, when you promote critical thinking and when you promote like discourse and healthy discourse, that's a good thing, which is why I'm not one of those people that, like, oh, fucking unfriend me if you believe this and that. No, dude. Like,
right.
I understand that people have differing opinions no matter how shitty they are, but it's your job to, like, educate them, and they're the people that need to see it the most when you need to post something about, you know, how you believe and what your beliefs are. The only people that ever comment anything that's, like, you know, negative and are people who are on this kind of, like, crusade against youth, and that's really right. All I've seen, like, that's really, if you look at the majority of the comments, they're all like, oh, what are these jobless pussies doing out? They got coddled by their parents too much. They're living a comfy life, but they're over here wanting to, you know, ride a wave. Like, all those things, yeah, that's disheartening. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? You're formulating your own opinion off of what?
Children.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, hating on children.
And not only that, but, like, off of what? Like, what are the experiences yourself that you, you know, have gone through? I had a pretty eye-opening conversation about it with somebody who I called a friend because he's somebody that I grew up with. But, you know, we don't see eye to eye. And it went something like, you know, us talking about the kind of things that we've faced. I was telling him that since I posted about the experience that my dad had with an ICE agent, people started messaging me saying that they thought it was fabricated, that it was fake, that I didn't have the name of the ICE agent, and if I didn't have the name of the ICE agent, that it was bullshit. And I kept explaining to them. I said, hey, look, it's not simple. It's not that simple. My parents didn't want to open that can of worms. They were discouraged by their attorney to do that. They didn't want to escalate anything further because they were afraid it was going to affect their case. And that's a very harsh reality for a lot of people who are currently imprisoned or who are currently undergoing their, you know, change of citizenship. So that I explained that to them, and then the other people were like, "Oh, your dad was here for 30 plus years. Why didn't he ever fix his papers?" And I said, "Hey, you know, that's a good point. I'm glad that you were privileged enough," and I use that word because it is a privilege. To have, you know, the socioeconomic status to have something called a savings, My parents never had a savings, man. My parents lived paycheck to paycheck. Whatever we grew up on was, you know, product
of hard work. As do many Laredoans do, brother.
Right, yeah. It's a town of, what, like 30% poverty rate, maybe even higher. I forget the number, right? But one of the highest in the nation. And the my parents lived paycheck to paycheck. So maybe it's a $120 application to start the process, plus, you know, legal fees. I think I know this because it's part of my work, but on average, factoring, on average, it's something like $3,000 to fix your papers, right? And while that might not sound like a lot of money, especially over the course of like 30 years, my parents never had that amount of money to save up and to just dispense at any given moment. So, my dad didn't have his papers fixed, and, you know, tough shit. So this guy I was talking to, he decided to turn it around and say about himself how he's like, oh, dude, look, here's the thing. I don't have any sympathy for anchor babies or people in cages or anything like that, because I lived through it and I survived. And that's what he was telling me. And I said, hey, dude, these people at City Hall aren't there discrediting this your experiences. What they're doing is they're trying to keep other people from that same experience. If you're telling me that it was so painful growing up and showing, you know, and having to go through those things, why would you want anyone else to undergo the same, you know, pain or misery? And he was like, look, see yo pude, ellos también. You know, like they see.
Yeah, and and to be honest with you, bro, that's the way I thought of it for a very long time. So, for example, my grandmother has had a local business up and running for more than 25 years. I think she's at a 27 year mark right now. And just like everybody else, she came from Mexico and started with nothing. And she ended up marrying my grandfather, who gave her the opportunity to start her own business. And so I was always so quick to be like, hey, my grandma went through it. Like, if they're going through it, it's not my problem, because my family already went through it for me. And now I'm the anchor baby, and I'm the one that's benefiting from all the labor and all the hardship they went through. And recently I've started opening up to people, and people start opening up to me. I see the difference in livelihood and in situations in life, and how ignorant and closed I was being in Laredo, thinking that just because I came from a privileged family, and I'll say it like that because it's the truth. And I was very closed off to a lot of things, and growing up and hanging around a lot of comedians that are, amongst all the friends I've had, all the groups of friends, the comedian friends that I have are pretty aware of themselves and the situations in life. And I've learned a lot, for example, from you or from Francisco and Aaron Suarez and all those and those guys. And I think what you mentioned, that once you get new information and you're able to change your way of thinking and open yourself up to different opinions, I think that's what we should all strive for and we should all move towards. Because if not, we're going to be running into people like the guy you ran into, your old friend that you had that conversation with, and it's just going to be a loop, and people are just going to keep struggling, and the whole point is to keep moving forward. You get me?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's my stance, is that I think obviously it's a very politically strange time. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a fucking virus that's still running rampant.
On top of all of this, there's still a virus going around, dude. That's
right. Yeah, we're still in a pandemic, and we actually, I think like 2 days ago, Texas reported the highest amount of cases that they've ever had in one day. This stuff's still going on. And then we've got a president who's using a lot of like very dangerous rhetoric, like, oh, if the looting starts, the shooting starts, calling governors wimps, and like, you know, in putting full like military use and activating them for, you know, the control of his own people. And if that's not a police state, I don't know what is. And he's doing this from a fucking bunker. So when you see when you see Laredoans bashing other Laredoans for trying to enact change because they're supposedly, I don't know, riding a wave or doing it for publicity or, you know, whatever, clout. Like pushing the, yeah, clout, pushing their own agenda. I completely disagree because ultimately, you know, this whole fight is about oppression and this whole fight is about police brutality and a system that's grown corrupt and, you know, run rampant without change for years. And, you know, trying to enact that change is exactly what this youth is trying to do for everyone, not just for themselves, you know?
Right.
So that's my stance.
Damn. And very well said, brother. Hey, so kind of want to get into the topic of that whole, if you would be down to have the conversation on the whole Guacamole incident that happened.
Oh, man. So, okay, cool.
So let's explain it to people, see what happened with the local food truck, Guacamole.
Okay, there was a last night, so I am a part of different organizations, and some of which usually provide information a little bit faster. You know, I heard about this incident last night. While we were getting ready for bed, I saw that there was a post talking about it was actually, I think it was one of my girlfriend's friends who posted a private conversation between her and the owner of that food truck, right? And he said basically, fuck the Black Lives Matter movement. He said, fuck BLM. I don't believe in that. I think the protests and the looting are fucking stupid. I think it's young people with nothing better to do. And he like dismissed it completely. When the initial conversation, I think, or correct me if I'm wrong, the initial conversation was this person who posted those screenshots was messaging the owner to tell him, hey, what you just posted was a very anti-black, you've got a lot of wind noise, I'm just saying, you know. It takes away from the from the conversation, and it's flat out not true. Like it's biased and you know, statistically inaccurate. And so when he said that, when she said that, he's like, oh, hang on. Hang on.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So that all that stuff that was saying there, it was like, as far as like, what she was putting was basically like, hey, you should take this down. She was asking kindly too.
Right.
Went forward and they ended up getting he ended up, you know, she ended up brigading him. Like she put him on blast and was like, hey, this business owner just stated this, obviously racist, and look, here's the thing. Ultimately what ended up happening was Cultura had to make a business decision to remove Guacamole from their premises. And at the beginning, or when I first started seeing it, I was like, yeah, man, it's racist. Like, he's a racist. And
right.
And
but he was giving his opinion, Roger, don't you think?
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. It's not so much that I was against him giving his opinion, as it was a private, you know, conversation. And I think you and I both know that if people started screenshotting shit within, you know, let's say our comics group chat, you'd probably get brigaded true too, right?
Oh, like it's definitely.
So I don't want to stand here and be a fucking hypocrite either. Not that I'm saying that I, you know, advocate or that I am in the stance where like, yeah, you should be allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. A person, I think I've been pretty vocal with whenever I think you guys are saying something shitty, and vice versa. If there's
yeah, you put me on check. You put me on check more than once.
Right. I think we do that pretty in a healthy way, right?
Thank you.
But in a way
that you don't know, only call me out on it. You tell me what's wrong and why it's wrong. And what it would do to someone, how it could harm somebody else.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's like the the important way of doing it. And here's the thing. She did that, right? And he, instead of saying, hey, you know what? Agree to disagree. But as of right now, you know, I just don't do that. But then I think the nail in the coffin was when he threw up a little sign. He threw up the Shaka sign and he goes, oh, yeah. Oh wait, sorry, my bad. And then he put up a black fist emoji. And it's like, dude, you just lost your business.
Yeah, you lost it.
Because of a black fist emoji where you were blatantly mocking somebody. Now, do I think that's outright racism? Maybe not. I don't personally know the guy. I haven't heard his side of the story. But what I do know is that it takes away from the Black Lives Matter movement.
Indirectly. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I meant. Indirectly takes from it and ultimately enables racism. So, would you say it's indirectly racist? I would think so. Would you say that the guy himself, is a racist? Probably not. But what he did fuck up on is that he's a small business owner with the responsibility to his patrons and to his employees to not be a dissenting voice during a time of political turmoil. What I think it was maybe not directly racist, but what I do think it was indirectly racist and tone deaf. And that's about it. When you're tone deaf about something, it's like, hey, how are you going to tell somebody, like, oh, you know, I don't know, your mom just fucking died. And you're going to go and say, dude, a lot of people's moms die. Like, you know,
tell me.
Yeah. Like it's not constructive. It takes away from the movement and you're belittling somebody who is trying to correct, you know, or not trying to correct, but is trying to show you or divulge new information, you know? And if you're not open to that and you're just going to say, fuck that, I think it's a bunch of jobless pussies that are hanging around, you know, right. Which is, you know, not my words, but things that were said in the Laredo Morning Times section, then I think, I'm sorry, man, but you made your own bed. Like, it's unfortunate because now a lot of people, not a lot of people, but the people that work in that food truck are going to lose their livelihoods, and it's going to indirectly infect Cultura too, because now people are accusing them of censorship and not being able to voice their opinion, and basically, oh, so if you don't support it or if you don't agree with the Black Lives Matter movement, you're not allowed to do business at Cultura or whatever. Like, no, that wasn't the point of it. The point is that a lot of other people had taken a stance there, including, you know, like the vegan truck, including the other people that are involved with business there, and they took a stance. And this guy, instead of doing that, just said, hey, fuck Black Lives Matter, right? And then put a post that was, like, you know, ultimately, like, mockery.
Then he mocked it, right, with the emoji.
Right. What I did not agree with was the way that it was carried out. I do think cancel culture is kind of toxic in itself. I'm not defending racism here before anybody fucking jumps off the bat and says some kind of shit like that. But there was somebody else who was implicated in the screenshot. Excuse me, in the screenshots, who was not a part of the conversation at all. And that was his wife, apparently. So for his wife to have been dragged because of that, it seems kind of like, are you kind of pushing an ulterior motive here? Do you maybe have a gripe with them personally bugging you? Or are you actually, you know, talking about racism, you know, about that? Yeah. So I had a problem with that when I started thinking about it a little bit. But I do think Cultura made the right decision in, you know, ultimately removing Guacamole, because it, one, would have been bad for business, and two, they were going to catch shit either way. Because if it wasn't from people saying, oh, you're, you know, violating people's freedom of speech, it was going to be from the people who were going to be like, hey, you've got a racist, you're doing business with a racist, you know. What we might be looking at, which is going to be a little strange, and I kind of feel it, we might be looking at a Me Too movement, but for racism, and that's going to be that's going to be fucking crazy if we start seeing people come out, because it happens all the time. You had, you know, like the fucking
screenshots of comic group chats and.
Well, so here's the thing, man. This might be a little controversial to you. I was gonna talk. I kind of briefly mentioned it to people on the group chat that we're on, but Franny and I are going to make a statement from the mic drop regarding that, because we just know at some point somebody is gonna make complaint or comments about it eventually. Or even if they don't, we want to get ahead of the curb. But we're
regarding racist jokes,
racism, sexism, homophobia, that kind of stuff. Now here's the thing. I know what you're thinking, and you're probably thinking, oh, you're gonna censor people, or whatever the fuck. No, not at all. What I do want to do is I want to make a post talking about how comedy is essentially the last bastion of free speech, and how basically the reason why it is a very American art, just like, this is actually paraphrasing Dave Chappelle's Mark Twain speech. He talks about how everybody has a champion, and that is the most American thing. And so he kind of goes on to talk about how, there's a lot of things that he's gotten in trouble for regarding, the issues that he talks about. But he weaves these social issues in a way that makes you think critically. He doesn't just get up there and say, like, ha-ha, N-word, ha-ha, F-word, right, whatever, right, and starts, belittling people.
He's a master.
Right, yeah, he's a legend. But here's the thing. I think the thing is, what I've seen personally as a comedian at local comedy spots and other shows out of town too, man, is that people forget one of the key rules in comedy, which is you don't punch down, right? And in case you haven't heard, and I'm sure you have, but in case you haven't heard what that means, it's simply, hey, there are people that are, marginalized. There are parts of groups that are struggling, and they've mentioned their struggles and vocalized their struggles. Why are you going to poke fun at them? There are people who have you under their boot no matter what. And why, I think it's those systems that, you can poke fun at and weave those social issues into your set without being an asshole. Because I'm sure it's much easier to be conforming and to come up with a joke that's just like, hey, who we can all make fun of? Somebody below us, and that, according to their perception. But I've been guilty of it too, man. Like, I've made some pretty shitty jokes, and not anything racist or anything like that, but I have made some jokes at the expense of others, and I since then have tried to fix that. I'm not going to call myself, I don't think I'm in a place to tell everybody what to do as far as comedy here on the radio, but I would like to think that the platform that we've developed, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the mic drop or any of the other, multiple platforms that we've gotten, I would like to think my voice is at least marginally influential and impressionist. Right. And if that was the case, then I would like to use that for good. So I'd want to make a statement that says something like, hey, comedy is great. We want to keep it great. Don't be a fucking asshole. And remind people right. that there are boundaries that right now, especially at a time of turmoil, you don't want to push because it's hurtful. I mean, you and I fucking remember having to talk to people about this too. Like, I remember people got very fed up about very upset about a joke that you may have told.
Which one?
I don't know, man. But I will tell you this: like when you, we can be straight up here. When you started off comedy, one of the first times that I saw you, you did a very tasteless joke, and I think it was like, you know what? Like I don't fucking like this guy. Like, to be honest, I was just kind of like, no. Just like you told me that you said you wanted to punch me in the face when you first saw me because you didn't know me, but I had a very punchable face, which is fine. I acknowledge that. But I think what ended up happening after that was I acknowledged that and I told you, hey, man, your set could use some improvement in this, this, and this aspect. And I think one of the main, you know, complaints is there's kind of a, you know, some prevalent, you know, or at least some hidden like sexism there. And, and I think you should do something to correct that, or at the very least, if you are going to do something, because, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Bill Burr, you know, like Paper Tiger, had a lot of sexism in it, you know,
I couldn't get through it, dude. Honestly, I couldn't get through it.
But
because,
you know,
to me, a lot of sexism, a lot of sexism calls out it. Like, it's all to me. I can just see this dude's insecure, and he's really needing to push down on women just because he didn't get the one he wanted. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so, and I don't like sexism jokes, and I don't know if you've heard my sets. The last one, I pushed away from those type of jokes. One, because I wasn't good at telling them.
And that was going to be my point. I acknowledged that you have made a pretty big turnaround in terms of what your subject matter has been. I applaud you on that, because I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy when you've got like a very comfortable mindset, but then you realize that it might be damaging towards somebody, and you know, that's that. And I caught a lot of shit for when I first started talking or calling people out, because we got complaints of sexism or of distasteful jokes at the mic drop. And I had to tell people, I said, look, I'm not here to censor anybody. I don't want to censor anybody. I personally believe and have the philosophy that that nothing is off limits of comedy for comedy. Right?
I agree.
But I also acknowledge that you're not off limits of the ramifications that may come from that. There are people whose fucking lives have been destroyed because of really shitty comments that they've made. And, you know, it's unfortunate that cancel culture works that way. But I also do think people don't learn these lessons until they've had their livelihoods affected. And that's kind of a shitty way to acknowledge things. But, I mean, it's just the same way that you see people deal, you know, with boycotts. They vote with their wallet. It's If they're going to hit you somewhere where it hurts, it's going to be your livelihood. If you're fortunate enough to have a platform and still use it to punch down, I personally don't agree with that. So I'm probably going to catch some shit. But I'll tell you what, dude, and you know what? I'll just admit it here. I've kind of stopped giving a shit about my interrelation with other comics in town.
I appreciate being on your good side in all this.
Here's the thing, there is no good side or bad side. I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, I have my favorites and I will fuck with those, and the other guys I don't give a shit about. No, I just personally feel at this moment I've got somebody who is my partner in all of the mic drop stuff. And that's Franny. And I will consult with my friends who I see solely as friends before I do as comics. And the reason why I think that's important is because if I just view, I'm going to be honest, and if there's any comics listening in here, fucking message me personally and we can talk it out. But there are some comics that if I went solely based off the subject matter that they use in their, you know, in their comedy, they would be extremely one-dimensional people and either racist, sexist, homophobic, or all of the three. And that's why I choose, you know, I totally missed one, and probably the most important one, not funny, right? And so I decided, I'm saying like this in general, like, so I've chosen to kind of distance myself from the way that I interact with people and take more of a role of like, you know, a listener, I guess, and start talking less and start doing more. So I no longer am trying to view my friends and the people that I associate with as comics, but more as friends. And I can do that because I've shared shit with you, Orly, Mario, Ivan, Josh, you know, all those guys that are there in that
group chat.
In that group chat, I've shared stuff with you guys. It's very personal, very close to me. And if we don't align and I don't see eye to eye with you, then I got to take a break, because at the end of the day, I still want to consider you guys as friends. And I can't do that if we're talking, you know, comedy, especially when people get, you know, viciously, you know, competitive about something.
Which happens a lot.
It does.
Unfortunately.
I think it's more of like an ego thing or just the fact that there's a lot of testosterone in that. But yeah, man, ultimately I stopped giving a shit, and I think it's going to help me a lot more because I'm going to start worrying more about what's better for making a better show and a better platform, so people as comics can go and do their thing, and so my friends who are my friends can go and enjoy a show too. So I think I'm trusting my gut on this one, and I've trusted my gut pretty well. Yeah, I've trusted my gut plenty of times over the last few, years, and it's led me in a pretty, you know, in the right direction. So
yeah, the mic job does very well, and the best mic in town by far, by far, emphasis on by far, and what you and Franny put in and the work you put in for the comics, not only for the comics but for the audience, is unmatched here in Laredo. And I hope not only in comedy but in any other art form we get to have things like that in Laredo, because everyone in Laredo, well, a lot of people in Laredo are quick to say that they support local and they put in the hard work for change in the city, but at the end of the day, it's just talk. And I love that that you guys consider me a friend, because even though I don't put the work that you all do, I'm around it. And I will never try to feed off of someone else's hard work. I hate that, dude. I detest that so much. And not only in art, but in life, you know. But, you know, every time you're giving me constructive criticism of and I'll be honest with you, the first times I was kind of like, yo, fuck this guy. I want to punch him in the face. But it came up, as it came more and more, and it started to make a lot more sense to me, the things you were telling me, and putting them into practice really helped me a lot. And I'll never take – and just as in I do in the gym, I do it in comedy. I try to always perfect my craft, whether it be a way that I throw a punch or a way that I hit a punchline, the way I say something or a topic or how I segue into things. But yeah, I do appreciate the constructive criticism I get from you and from Franny and from Aaron, all the more seasoned, straight up, the better comics.
Here's the thing, I don't do it for you, man. Like, I appreciate you as a friend for the times that you've stood up and had my back on multiple, like, issues that have happened personally. And that really changed my perspective on you. On stage, I still thought you were a piece of shit, right? I think at one point, the reason why I really wanted to see you start improving is because it started showing a little bit that it was flustering, that it was bothering you, that you were being, you know, kind of like that you were getting upset because of the things that were happening. And because you were getting upset that you weren't doing well on stage or something like that, I wanted to provide some feedback for you as a comic for the art. And because that ultimately reflects better on us as a group when we go and we try to make people laugh, which I think is going to be very important, I don't know, a month from now, whenever things are back to 100% capacity, because I don't think we'll be at it for a while. But yeah, man, that's my, that, 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 that's, that's my philosophy on it. And I think I kind of fuse that philosophy from the way I was treated when I was coming up in the scene, when I was starting off with shit. And that was I had Franny, who was more of a...
I think Franny and I started at the same time, but Franny kept going.
Right, yeah. I remember you telling me. Sorry, I was cutting you off there. I think, personally, if I had somebody that I think is my personal favorite comedian, it's Franny, and that's not like here in Laredo. That's not like a bias, because I might be biased because I work with him a lot, but. I just always find his subject matter always very relatable, and I think that he does a good job at keeping naturally who he is on stage.
Yeah, who he is on stage and how you talk to him in person is the same thing.
The same voice. So I always felt like, yo, like, this guy, I want to be good friends with him. Like, he's a cool dude. And so he was the one who started, you know, kind of egging me on to do that, and then Aaron was very instrumental in like getting me in the showcases, and when I got in the showcases was really just like because he thought I was funny, and that really there was no other reason. And
That's the thing with Aaron, right? Either you're funny or you're not, and that's it. And he'll help you out. And,
yeah,
just like
and
you
that,
all.
And that's why I always appreciated that. And I think that he's always been really, like, you know, critical on the way that I've performed or the way that other people perform. And through that, you know, kind of critical sense that he's got, understand comedy as a business.
Right.
I think as an art, I've learned more from some of my other friends, or from simply just having the love for it and the experience. So I think I kind of fused the friendship I had with Franny, with the mentorship I had from Aaron, and I think that's kind of just been me, and then
the rest of us are just trying to learn along with you all,
right? And no, it's crazy, man. It's crazy to think the increase or the jump in like all these people. Like, I was just going back through some of the stuff before. It used to be just me, Franny and Aaron, in terms of like the people that you know we would have in our little circle. And the reason why we did that is because there's another group of comedians that is essentially a gang of comedians that takes up the rest of the roster of local comedians, who we maybe didn't want to associate with at a time, or we just found that it was much easier to not follow the footsteps, or to do something different from what people were already
straight up associate yourself with them.
Yeah, associate. But anyway, point is, like, that's not talking shit on them. I just didn't, you know, agree with a lot of the ways that they went about things. So then, when that was happening, there was literally like four independent comics, and it was. I mean, that I knew of at the time that were active. I'll say active independent comics because I hadn't seen any other ones at the open mics, and I was going to those religiously. And it was just me, Brian, Aaron, and Freddie. After that happened, we started the mic drop, and, you know, after about a year and a half of me doing comedy or something like that, I said, hey, you know what? I'm ready to run an open mic. And everybody was like, no, you're not. And I was like, I am, I will. And so I did. And, now we've got people who used to be active, who are back into it again. And we've got, I think about all of, like, the new faces. We've got Orly and Eric and and that's it, you know. Just kidding. No, you got Orly and Eric and Ernie and Josh and you. Like, I mean, you, like you mentioned, you'd started a while back, but in terms of, like, you know, going and consistently going and being active on things, you're there. And yeah, so we've seen that. What I want to see is more female comics, because there's like zero representation, or close to zero representation outside of Sarah.
No,
I'm not going to say that, because Sarah does do a lot of work. But that out of there, I do want to see more, because it's still crazy outweighed. Because if you'd say maybe, I don't even know, I haven't taken a count. I'm going to say there is 20 comics in Laredo and one of them is female, you know?
Yeah.
I would say maybe 20 is overdoing it. There's maybe like 18 or 19. I don't know. I can't.
There's that other woman. What's her name? She's performed a good two or three times, but I would love to see. She's really funny. I would love to see
her. Rosina? If you're talking about Rosina, she's fucking great, and I want her to be involved more.
Real.
Yeah, Rosina is pretty fucking funny. There was another girl who had performed here who ended up leaving, I think, for work.
Corey? Something like that?
Cordy. She left for school, but the last time she performed, she fucking killed. So, I wish we could get more female representation and stuff, because I think right now it's a sausage fest, you know?
Kiana, the last time she went on and she did shit all over your face, that was excellent. But,
you know, and here's the thing, she's going to get upset that I didn't mention her in that group of people, but it's also because she performed once and then the other time she didn't. She did want to really start gathering a group of female comedians, or a group of females, and starting, you know, a little comics chat for herself, because she sees what we talk about most of the time, and she wants that. She wants to, you know, like, expand the group also. And which is really cool. I'm always really grateful to have her as a supporter. And she was really funny. I did think she did really good up there, even though part of it was shitting on me for our first date. So.
Right. No, but I don't know if you want to do a quick plug for the mic drop before we finish up the call, brother.
I've got a couple of plugs, man. The mic drop, it's an open mic comedy event that we do here in Laredo. It's run by me and Francisco Flores, another local comedian. You should go and check him out. We run it at Cultura Beer Garden, and it's usually every Thursday, but obviously since the COVID stuff, we have yet to start it back up. But there will be news on how we're going to start back up again. Maybe early July, but you'll be getting that news pretty soon, and how we're going to do that. And it's essentially going to be a celebration of the 1 year anniversary of the mic drop, since we didn't get to celebrate it. It was actually a month ago exactly that it turned a year. So it's a year and a month old now. And
congrats, man.
And we want to you know, do something for the audience and the local comedians, and it'll be a lot of fun. Go and check out Aliens on the Border. Aliens on the Border is a podcast that Josh and I run, and we're going to have the people who have organized organized Saturday's protests and list of demands to deliver to City Hall regarding police reform and change here in Laredo. We'll have them. Red Wing will have them on a show this Friday. I've got some personal, under that same umbrella of Aliens on the Border, I've got some episodes called The Lockdown Listens. It originally started as something I wanted to do daily, that was supposed to be avoiding talk about COVID, and kind of just an effort to stay sane. But it ended up turning into something different, which was, I think, this last episode that I recorded that I've yet to upload is a talk about personal experiences, and how it's related with my parents and their stories as well. But go and check that out. And
I don't know if you know, but But this podcast is going to be under Aliens on the Border.
I knew, which is why I was asking why you're doing it in such a shitty way, you know? Like, not necessarily through it shitty in the sense of, like, I dislike the talk or the interview style or format. I enjoy content and I enjoy your point of view on a lot of things because it's a little more grounded than I think most people's point of views are or points of view are. There's different avenues that we could talk about in terms of, you know, creating a podcast for better audio quality and stuff like that. The Eternal Vato, check that out under Aliens in the Border 2, which is us right here now, a meta plug, if you will. Right. And last but not least, during this COVID-19 stuff, I rarely got any, like, really super good news, but one of the really good items that I did get was a confirmation that my group of creatives and artists that we had started sometime last year in January for public art has just turned into a nonprofit, and we're working we're working on creating an avenue for incubating artists and kind of, you know, working with more with more councilmen and councilwomen to uplift some public art here in Laredo and color it up a bit. There's some new murals popping up around here in Laredo. We don't take credit for those because those are the works of the artists. But we did help facilitate some of those call to artists, things that we haven't seen here in Laredo before.
Did your group make the one behind that new building?
Is it the building on Convent?
Yeah, in Houston.
We helped facilitate that call to artists, but we didn't, you know, create the design or give any supplies or anything like that. But we are going to promote the shit out of it because any public art that does come through that is a product of, you know, a local creative mind is always uplifted there. So,
dude, that building was named after my grandmother.
Yeah, you were telling me, man. That's actually a really interesting piece of information.
We're gonna have a the grand opening ceremony thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I wanted to get you all to go with me, and maybe we can invite that group. It kind of invite the group you're involved in, and we could give them the introduction into the city in front of all the officials or whoever didn't know about them.
Yeah. I mean, that would be cool, dude. We can talk about something like that. But that's all I've got to plug. Go and follow. Oh, in terms of, like, something that's a little more politically inclined, go and look at a Laredo Immigrant Alliance. I work with them on the daily to help end isolation and the plight of immigrants. And none of what I said today on this podcast is a reflection of them at all. I just want to cover my ass in case my boss listens to this. She's been really into podcasts lately. You should go and check out that. It's a pretty great organization. And we're always looking for, you know, volunteers and people to get active with us.
Sounds great, Roger. Well, thank you very much for being on here, brother. I appreciate it 100%, bro.
Yeah, no problem, dude. I'm glad I was able to be on it. I'm glad I was able to be number two.
I think this is our first long conversation we've ever had. It was a good one.
Yeah, I agree, dude. Yeah, it was good to be able to just kind of shoot the shit a little bit back and forth. I'll have you on my podcast so we can do a part two and just, like, double up.
All right, brother. Well, thank you, man. You have a good one, all right?
All right, man. You too. Later.
All right. Bye-bye.